In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord says to those who are following, Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. The centurion, one who should not have had faith at all, the centurion, who because of his pagan ways was in outer darkness, would not have been obviously part of the covenant, therefore not one subject to the graces of redemption, but rather one who should, as the Lord himself, been weeping and gnashing his teeth, instead is one who manifests a complete and total faith in God, and understands that that faith is also connectedness to his unworthiness. His faith in the power of God to heal gives him also the ability to understand his own weakness, his own failure. Faith helps him understand his place before God. Faith likewise gives him the ability to understand the true power and meaning of authority and obedience and the exercise thereof. I too, he says, am a man subject to authority, and I have those subject to me. I say go and they go, I say come and they come, I say do and they do. And so, Lord, it is possible for you to do the same because I know who you are. And that is precisely what the Lord does. What a beautiful, if you will, juxtaposition of theological constructs for our contemplation. Faith that leads to proper humility, that helps us be obedient to God. And in truth, one could articulate that this is the heart and the foundation of the spiritual life. First, faith in God, choosing God, clinging to God above all things, even in the face of those things that may not make sense or those things that may seem unreasonable. Faith itself is not unreasonable, but there are experiences, there are times when we are called to put our trust in the Lord, not relying upon our own intellects, are those things that we ourselves might understand or be able to reason out. And then, brothers and sisters, when we live in this life of faith, it properly situates us in relationship first with God and then in relationship with one another. That is the context of St. Paul's exhortation to not do evil for evil, but to meet evil with good. Precisely because when I understand whose I am and what it is that God has done for me and the manner in which I must cling to the Lord, then I also understand what is required of me, first in relationship with God, but then in my relationships with one another. I can't seek vengeance. I can't work out in my mind all the ways I will get back at my enemies in anticipation of what they might do to me or in recompense to what they've already done to me. But instead, I must meet them with the goodness that I myself have received from a loving and merciful God. And then in this life of faith, rooted in the reality of humility, I am obedient to the things of God. When I ask the Lord, because of faith, I trust that he will provide. And when the Lord asks of me, in obedience, I go and I do whatever it is that he commands me to do. I come and I come. If he says go and I go, if he demands, then I respond. And imagine, brothers and sisters, what the world would look like. But even more importantly, what the church would look like if we all did what we are required to do. The question that is oftentimes asked, maybe by myself, but I know by others as well, is it as simple as that, doing what God commands us to do? This life of faith, rooted in humility, a proper understanding of me and God, me and others, obedience to his will. And I have to believe, in truth, it is that simple. It becomes complicated because we are willful. We are disobedient. We don't want to do the things that God asks us to do. Or we believe that we know better, that we are wiser, and therefore our wills supersede the will of God. Or, sadly, oftentimes our faith may falter. Instead of choosing God, clinging to God, we choose to those things that we can touch or see, those things that we can understand, the things created by men, the world created by men. Instead of giving ourselves over to the author of all creation, and that is God himself. But if we pause for a moment in the manner in which we live our lives and reflect on those times when we have lived in faith, humility, and obedience, we know that our lives are marked by a profound peace. Not just merely an absence of difficulty, not the disappearance of the cross, but a peace even in the midst of struggle, and maybe especially in the midst of struggle. In those moments when sacrifice has been required of me, in those moments when the cross that I'm bearing seems to be unbearable, instead of relying upon myself, instead of putting my cross down, I have turned to the Lord in faith, I have trusted in humility, I have listened in obedience, and the Lord has bestowed peace upon me. Even, brothers and sisters, if those moments in your life have been fleeting, those fleeting moments are much more profound than any reality that we ourselves might craft, anything that we might make, anything in our minds that we might then put to our wills to fashion in our own manner. I can truly tell you that when I rely upon the Lord, indeed all manner of good things come. Things that I myself could not have ever conceived. Because God bestows, God gives, God knows what to bestow and what to give. I imagine, I ask, but the Lord truly provides for me. This life of profound faith, where we can go to the Lord and ask Him to heal, as the leper did, as the centurion did. Men from different walks of life, different realities, different theological relationships, but rooted in their hearts. And the thing that matters is that the Christ was in their presence. And knowing who He was and what it is that He was able to accomplish, they both bow down before Him, do Him homage, and ask for His intercession. And the Lord wants us to do the same. But what we must do then on our part is when we ask God, allow God to do what it is that He is going to do for us. We can't attach it to caveats. We can't ask God to do this in this way. We simply ask God and trust that He will give, as He does, all good things to us. And then we go, we live our lives day in and day out. We may not necessarily immediately transform the world. And in truth, that is not our task. To transform the whole world. Yes, the world will be transformed, and we are instruments of that transformation. But if we are not working assiduously to be transformed ourselves, if we are not diligent day after day in this life of faith, humility, and obedience, it will be difficult and maybe even an impossibility for us to cooperate and be instruments for the salvation and the conversion of the world. But again, think and contemplate what the world would look like if all men did what God required them to do. And so that begins with us, God's faithful, here at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, choosing above all things to be this day with God in this manner. It is incumbent upon us to be examples for those who may continue to walk in darkness, those whose lives are such that they are weeping and gnashing their teeth, because they're holding on to things that do not last, and they're living their lives in their own manner, which never bears fruit. The gospel, of course, concludes with the healing of the servant of the centurion. And of course, the leper himself is likewise healed. We know that in the stories of healing in sacred scripture, they are indeed true. They're given to us not only as the veracity of the experience itself, but to engender in us this life of faith, and then for us to likewise go to the Lord and ask Him. And so what is it that you need from the Lord this day, in body or in spirit? What is on your heart that must be given over to God in order that God, who is the only one truly that can provide for us, can provide for you? Go to Him in humility. Ask Him in faith. And then in obedience, do whatever God commands you to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.